This is the homily for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2026, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the first book of Kings, chapter 3, verses 5 and 7 to 12, the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 to 30, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 to 52. The homilist was Father Gabriel Myers.
I think I have new things and old from the storehouse. But first, reminding you that St. Benedict says prayer should have few words, a nonverbal sound. I listened on the internet. But this sounds more like cicadas than the videos from nature I found. I realize that we won't have cicadas until 2038 in D.C. And if I say I might not be here to hear them, I know that one person in the audience will object. Cicada. Soft C, hard C, D. So the consonants S, K, D. Cicada. Sound. Symbol. Story. Cicada. K. Cacophony. Kick. Crack. Cicada. Delirium. Dreary. Death. There's an ancient myth about one cicada, which always come in swarms, one cicada. But we will start with the appearance of God in a dream to young Solomon, the new king after the death of his aged father, David. Now, King David had great charisma, warrior, poet, lover. He stayed in power, but died a broken man. His army had to kill his rebel son, Absalom, beautiful and greatly loved by David with the long golden hair. I wonder if David heard cicadas on his deathbed foretelling his own death. Solomon's dream is possibly the only wish story in world literature that ends well. He asks for a good, unselfish thing and got as well the things people usually wish for and misuse. He got wealth and power, as well as wisdom. The typical wish story ends badly because we humans can be stupid and self-defeating. Midas, a Greek king, asks that everything he touch turn to gold. Seems like a great idea. The wish is granted, and he is amazed at his magic power, until the roses in his garden, with their soft beauty and delicate scent, become hard, crass metal. Sorrowful, he enters the palace and sits on a chair, which turns to gold, though he is sick of gold. His only child, a beautiful dancing daughter, runs in, excited about the gold in the garden. She is filled with amazement. Papa realizes the danger, but cannot get away fast enough. Leaping into his arms, she is no longer a dancing daughter, but a heap of ugly metal. Midas has learned a terrible lesson. He loathes himself, and so the gods relent. The remedy is to bathe, much like the biblical leper Naaman, instructed by Elisha, in a specific river. The river then takes on the gold-making magic, and precious ore is found deep in the riverbed. Midas climbs out of the water, a wise but crushed man. I said Solomon's wish story ends well, but that's not quite true. And he foresaw the negative effects that would come after his lifetime. Under Solomon, Israel is strong economically, culturally. The citizens have rights, things we seem to be losing in America. A temple is built. The Queen of Sheba visits. But to make allies, Solomon enters diplomatic marriages. 700 wives and 300 mistresses. This is not a moral problem, however, but foreign wives bring foreign gods. And Solomon, the good guy, allows this, which waters down the religion of Israel. Losing its identity, the nation disintegrates, something we are also seeing today. After Solomon's death, Israel breaks in two, never to regain its full unity. Cicadas, symbolic story, death rattle. Today's gospel continues the cluster of images from last week. They are called parables, but they are uninteresting to those of us who want stories with plot and character, like we find in the Good Samaritan or Prodigal Son. These are just similes. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. They are too obvious. There is little to meditate on. There are weeds and wheat, sweet fish and sour. Slightly better is the invisibility of yeast making the dough rise and bringing a fragrant golden, the right kind of golden, loaf from the oven. Cicadas are invisible to the ordinary eye, but we cannot miss their wall of sound, chirping, buzzing, clicking, high whining, the sound of a tribal rain stick. Early American settlers thought they were crop-devouring locusts, as in the eighth plague against Egypt. Only the death of the firstborn was worse than the plague of locusts. Locusts create famine. Cicadas are innocent bugs who entertain us with their sound. But, I found quickly, some people consider cicadas noise pollution. I myself find the sound soothing and soporific, a sign of a Norman Rockwell summer day. There is melancholy in the sound, which of course is not melodic, and is like the drone of bagpipes, played, we are told, at Buckingham Palace every morning. So, a wish story from Greek mythology. Aurora, goddess of dawn, falls in love with the Trojan prince, Tithonus. We know this won't end well, because the Greeks telling the story abhor the Trojans. Tithonus is a harmless youth, and Aurora is a minor deity. He is not Achilles, she is not Apollo, who really brings the sun. Aurora is a little dim-witted and a warrior. Will my beloved die in the Greek wars? She asks Zeus to make her prince immortal. Something inevitably goes wrong when we try to sneak around the boundaries of life. Nymph Thetis found this. She was keen to protect her son from danger, so she dips baby Achilles in the river Styx. Held upside down for this ritual, the baby's foot stays dry. Much later, Achilles will be shot by arrow in the heel, and the great hero dies, inevitably. Making a similar mistake, silly Aurora asks the gods to make Tithonus immortal. But she forgets to ask for his eternal youth. So her handsome young prince shrivels up in a protracted old age. She tries to keep him happy, but piteously, he longs for death. Death is a blessing that comes to everyone else. As with wretched Midas, the gods eventually relent. They transform Tithonus from being human to become a cicada, a droner in the great company making a wall of sound. Still immortal, he returns every 13 years, rubbing his knees in the high whine, buzz, click, chirp of sound, which to some ears is extraordinary beauty rising from something horrific. This truth, extraordinary beauty can rise from something horrific, is at the heart of Christianity. We call it the Paschal Mystery. It is a term deriving from Israel's core experience of leaving Egypt through the Red Sea. We think we know what this means, but I am not sure I do. Did Israel have to become slaves in order to escape and become God's people? It can't be true that the Egyptian oppressors paid in the blood of their firstborn for Israel's freedom. Real life does not have such simple causation. Did Jesus have to die to rise from the dead? I do not know, but that is what happened. In our lives, we experience the Paschal Mystery through death, either the death of a loved one or dealing with our own end. In a symbolic way, one way or another, we must hear the song of the cicadas led by Prince Tithonus, who wished for death. What you wish for tells much about yourself. Do you wish superficially, like Midas? Do you wish mistakenly, like Aurora? Becoming wise, do you wish for what everyone else dreads, like Tithonus, who lived beyond his time? When the Twin Towers fell on 9/11, Queen Elizabeth lost a friend on that terrible day. So she said something personal, which, though wise, she seldom ever did. Grief, she said, is the price we pay for love. She actually borrowed that unattributed quote from a self-help book about bereavement. Some authors take issue with this insight that grief is the price we pay for love. They say you don't earn love by paying for it. We can quibble about details. But sticking to love often brings grief, separation, and ending. We feel this in our bones. We may have the foresight to realize the connection between love and grief before we endure it ourselves, or we find it in the experience. We pay a price for accepting the greatest gift that life can bring. But remembering our love, preserving our love in memory, we can become beautiful, not bitter, in a Paschal Mystery sort of manner. That is wisdom.